meeting by calling 929-205-6099. That's 929-205-6099. And entering this meeting ID, 922.457.2995. Once again, the meeting ID, 922.457.2995. And as if that wasn't enough numbers, we also have a password. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency, 99.5. So it's 995.995.99. Do you have to contribute to WBAI to access the meeting? No, but we sure could use it. Thank you.
The time now is 2:30 p.m. Stay tuned for Ecologic. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for February 4th, 2022.
And didn't Sally and Donna do a great job last week when my computer froze up, working under pressure? You guys were great.
Yeah, anyway, but don't do that again.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
What genetically modified microorganisms can disrupt all plant life, from crops to trees, and it's in our food?
Jeffrey Smith of the Institute for Responsible Technology has exposed how biotech companies mislead policymakers and the public and put the health of the society and environment at risk. Welcome to the call, Jeffrey.
Hello. Great to be here. Yeah.
Now, Jeffrey, what is a genetically modified organism, and why should we care?
Well, what we're going to talk about are aspects that are in our food, which we have tracked and related to numerous diseases. In fact, between the GMOs and the Roundup herbicide that's sprayed on most of them, we have linked them to cancer, heart disease, obesity, brain fog, infertility, digestive problems, deaths from senile dementia, Alzheimer's, autism. It's a huge pile of enormous number of dangers that we can now track plausible causative pathways back to the modes of action of these secret ingredients in our food, the Roundup, it's sprayed on the Roundup-ready crops, etc. And there's now new GMOs that are coming that could be even worse. GMO means genetically modified organism. In other words, we use a laboratory technique to change the structure of the DNA in a way that doesn't happen naturally.
That's pretty scary. It's been going on for a while, though, hasn't it?
In 1996, the first commercial crops were grown in the United States. And you can track more than 30 diseases rising in parallel with the increased use of GMOs and Roundup in our food supply. And correlation doesn't prove causation by any means. But we also now have interviewed and surveyed thousands and thousands of people and physicians. I speak at many medical conferences. And we, in our last survey, we surveyed 3,256 people who reported getting better from 28 different conditions when they switched back to non-GMO and largely organic food. Veterinarians tell us that this also happens with pets and livestock. And when animals are force-fed GMOs and Roundup, they suffer from these same type of diseases that are on the rise or their precursors. So, yes, it's been in the market for 25 years, but we think it's been wreaking havoc during that time.
What can people look for in their own health to signify that the GMOs are their problem?
Well, I use the word GMOs and Roundup together, and I'll tell you why. First of all, most of the GMOs planted in the world are Roundup-ready crops created from Monsanto, which has since been bought by Bayer, the aspirin maker. Roundup-ready soy, corn, cotton, canola, sugar beets, and alfalfa. Now, these crops have at least the two poisonous influences, the Roundup, with its chief ingredient, chief poison, glyphosate, and the GMO itself. And there's been more research done on the Roundup and glyphosate than the GMOs, so it's hard to distinguish which of the dangers that, or which of the diseases that are on the rise are linked to one or the other. But if you look at just Roundup alone, it appears to damage the foundation, the pillars of our health, our microbiome, leaky gut, the ability to absorb minerals, neurotransmitters like serotonin, melatonin, and dopamine, our hormones, the mitochondrial health, the ability to digest, birth defects and cancer. They're all linked to glyphosate based on what we know its modes of action are. And with GMOs alone that have been tested, it's resulted in early death, organ damage, massive multiple tumors, precancerous conditions, damage to organs, damage to the immune system. And when you put them together, it's a cocktail that we should not be feeding to ourselves and should not be planting these things for future generations.
Yeah, it doesn't sound yummy.
Haven't they banned Roundup in Europe and in the Caribbean?
No, they haven't banned it in Europe. There are certain countries that have announced that they're going to phase it out, France and Germany, etc. The World Health Organization's Cancer Committee determined in 2015 that glyphosate was a probable human carcinogen, and that has caused a repeal, etc., a withdrawal by many countries and also box stores for gardening, etc. But there hasn't been big bans around the world. However, Mexico stood up to the United States pressure and the biotech industry and said they're banning imports of GMOs and they're banning the use of glyphosate, and they're in the lead-up to that. It's going to be just a few short years.
Yeah. I know they've had a real problem with U.S. American corn coming in and potentially interfering with their native species of corn with
absolutely.
GMO.
There's been studies for years showing that the genetically engineered corn that was imported for food or feed was planted and has contaminated the indigenous varieties. Mexico is the source of the genetic diversity of corn, and it's a disaster that now they're going to traditional corn and testing it and finding that it's been cross-pollinated. Same with the cotton down there. Cotton that was, I think, 2,000 kilometers from the nearest planted GMO cotton. We don't know how that happened,
wow.
But we do know that wind can transport pollen great distances in a short amount of time.
And you were talking about microorganisms being genetically modified. What is going on there?
Well, the microorganisms, to me, are even a greater threat. They're kind of an existential threat which could challenge all living beings and all future generations. The capacity to do harm is showcased a bit in the pandemic now, in that a single microbe can travel the world, wreak havoc, and also mutate, and the new mutated versions can wreak havoc in new ways. What most people don't realize is that microbes can also swap genes with other microbes, even between bacteria and algae, between fungus and plants. So the concern is if you release a genetically engineered microbe, then it can, even for a well-meaning purpose in a very limited ecosystem, it will irreversibly change the gene pool of the microbiome, the microbial community, and it can travel, swap genes, and permanently damage or collapse ecosystems. In our film, Don't Let the Gene Out of the Bottle, which is at protectnaturenow.com, we have a 16-minute showcase of exactly what could go wrong with some worst-case scenarios that were real. A real genetically engineered bacterium was nearly released into the environment. We were 2 weeks away, and if it had been released, it could have theoretically ended terrestrial plant life on the planet. Another one could have theoretically altered weather patterns. Another one could have decimated the human population. Now, the reason why this is so absolutely dangerous right now is that you can create a genetically engineered microbe for the price of dinner if you have a small lab. Gene editing, which is the new, cheaper, more accessible form of creating GMOs, which also has massive side effects as its most common outcome, can produce gene-edited microbes so simply you can buy a do-it-yourself kit online for $169. And when you have that level of flexibility, when you have a small lab that you build yourself for $1,000 or $2,000, you can create well-meaning changes in the DNA, take your microbe for a walk, you've just done an environmental release, where there is no way to recall it. If it survives in the wild, it can wreak havoc in future generations. And if we don't stop it, within this generation, we may have a million new gene-edited microbes released in the environment because there's virtually no regulations around the world to stop it.
How do we stop it? Wow.
Well, our Institute for Responsible Technology has decided to pivot. I've been doing work on the GMO health dangers for 25 years. And I've spoken in 45 countries and I've helped build a movement. And we're now shifting and creating an entire new movement called Protect Nature Now to stop these GMO 2.0 influences, which are potentially devastating. So if you go to protectnaturenow.com, you'll see our current strategy for how people could help. We need to create laws in every country, international treaties, to ban the release of genetically engineered microbes. But we can't just rely on legal precedent. I've been flown to governments like Poland by the government. I gave there a press conference with the Polish Minister of Environment and praised their country's non-GMO policy years ago. A week later, a new pro-GMO government was voted into power. So we can't rely just on government policy and laws that can be reversed. We also need to get it out in popular culture and in academia. You see, everyone knows about climate change right now, and everyone knows you wouldn't give an atomic bomb detonator to a teenager and say, don't press the red button. It's logical. But we don't think in the same way, oh, don't give a CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing kit to a high school biology class and say, be careful what you create. No one thinks that way, but these are like biological time bombs that no one understands the capacity for harm. And when we talk to microbiologists and we're actually now reaching out to them, their first comment is, you know, I haven't thought about that. And then typically when they do think about it, their eyes get wide. They realize this is an existential threat of the highest order. Many people, including many scientists, rate it as a higher danger than climate change, and yet very few people know about it. So getting the word out, getting the laws in place, this is what we're doing.
And I'd like to point out how important microorganisms are to the environment. Almost every microorganism is beneficial in some way, to the tree, to the person. You know, we tend to think about germs, and those are microorganisms that are out of balance and become pathogens. But most of them, they make our digestion better, they make our health better, they make our endocrine system work better, they make trees grow more efficiently, they make our crops grow more efficiently. Microorganisms are wonderful in the environment, and we don't want to mess that up.
Oh, you're so right, Ken. You know, regenerative agriculture uses the microorganisms to draw down carbon into the soil. And I'm working with some of the world's leaders in it right now, and it turns out they could return the carbon in the atmosphere to the soil to such an extent we can achieve pre-industrial level with the kind of breakthroughs they're having. But if we release genetically engineered microbes that damage those relationships in the soil microbial community, then we don't have that tool. And in terms of human health, we actually outsource 90% of our right. metabolic functions to the microbiome, and we get away with 23,000 genes, which is less than earthworms, because we get to use the genetic material from 3.5 million genes in the microbes living inside us. The intelligence of these microbes cannot be understated. There's milk-digesting bacteria that move into the birth canal in the second trimester to inoculate the baby so that the infant can digest milk. And when the health of the baby is off, it's reflected in the baby's saliva microbiome fed back to the mother through the breast, and that changes the formula. And part of the formula is not to feed the baby, it's to feed the microbiome, because when the microbiome is healthy in the beginning, it sets the child up for better health throughout his or her life and future generations. And that's just at the beginning. It's involved with all sorts of monitoring and functions throughout our life. And according to Karen Christian, one of the world's experts, 80% of chronic diseases and all diseases find their source in imbalances in the microbiome. And if we can create imbalances in the microbiome inadvertently by releasing genetically engineered microbes, even if those microbes are not normally found in the gut, they can swap the genes with those in the gut. And then that, if that has a survival advantage, it can slowly replace the natural version forever.
You mentioned CRISPR. Is that a part of all this?
Absolutely. CRISPR is the poster child of gene editing. And the two developers won a Nobel Prize. And it's very exciting to the biological community because virtually every lab that does biology has a CRISPR kit. And this is where the problem is. We're giving the keys to redirect the streams of evolution for all time to everyone. And we are changing, let's just talk about the microbiome for a moment. It's like the micro Jedi army that works on all of our behalf. We haven't even characterized the vast majority of microbes and what they do. And yet we're going and introducing new microbes that can change those relationships, change the very structure and function of those microbes, long before we realize what we have damaged. You think about algae. Algae is a microbe that produces 70% of the Earth's oxygen. And it can swap genes with bacteria and with each other. What are we doing with these, with the lungs of the planet, which is more important than the rainforest for human health, for survival? So this is where we need to look at things like CRISPR and say, as Homeland Security has, that the technology has outpaced the regulations. And the regulations are virtually non-existent for microbes.
Speaking of regulations and the government, what started us down this path for the show was the new USDA label that is cute and pretty and says bioengineering. What's the genesis of that, and what do we know?
So the issue about the new labeling which is a sham. It's basically as if Monsanto wrote it, which we think actually happened. There were many of us trying to get states to require labeling of GMOs starting in 2012. And Vermont actually passed legislation to require labeling, and that freaked out the food industry because if they're going to label for Vermont, they're going to have to label everywhere. And so they got Congress to pass what we call the DARC Act, Denying Americans the Right to Know, and then passed the responsibility to create the labels to their most friendly regulatory agency, the USDA. And so they created a label which is basically a non-label. It basically, anything that's made from CRISPR, synthetic biology, etc., is exempt from labeling. Any animal product from animals that are fed GMOs is exempt from labeling. Anything where you can't find a GMO detectable in the final product, which is 90% of GMOs, doesn't need a label. If it does need a label, it can have a QR code, which you have to then scan and find the answer on their website. It might have a 800 number. Many companies are with low annual sales, less than $2.5 million, are exempt. And if you do have, if they do decide to put a label on it, it's designed to confuse you. It doesn't say contains GMOs, which everyone knows. It says bioengineered. And bioengineered has like a nice pretty scene, so it might be looking like the company is bragging about it. So unless you've heard this radio show and know what to look for, you may think, oh, it's bioengineered. And you may buy it because there's some benefit. Stay away. So just assume that if it doesn't say non-GMO or organic, you have to be careful.
Yeah, as usual, the time flies by, and we need to go on. We do thank you all for joining us. For more information, you can reach Jeffrey Smith at www.protectnaturenow.com. That's protectnaturenow.com or responsibletechnology.org.
For information on a variety of environmental topics, such as the chippy comment period ending on February 7th, the return of Occupy Biden on President's Day weekend, or Trump supporters threatening a butterfly sanctuary, or to listen to this show or any of our past shows again, it's all at www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Mainstream media won't give you all this information that Jeffrey just shared. Their corporate profit interests will never broadcast these details. That's why Ecologic and WBAI are so important. We need to exist.
It's you, the listener, who has the power to keep Ecologic on the air. Help us to continue to bring you important news, information, and entertainment. Radios may seem free, but there are costs, and our listener-supported radio station needs you.
Go to www.givetowbai.org and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next, or call 212-209-2950 and say you want to be a member or a BAI buddy. Or put Eco-Logic in the search box and see the environmental DVDs and CDs that are available for a donation to WBAI.
Like so many producers here at WBAI, we are volunteers, and we work hard every week to bring you new information and guests who are on the front lines of many environmental issues. Pledging now, during this show, really helps Ecologic especially.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list to stay connected with us. Those of you on social media, search for Eco-Logic.
And thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Friday, February 11th at 2:30 to 3 o'clock to hear about new proposed fracking wastewater regulations and what you can do. Thank you so much, Jeffrey, for joining us today. And we will continue this on Zoom, so people go to our website, ecoradio.org. Not now. We'll be right back.
For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Mohammed. Here are some headlines. In a unanimous voice vote with no debate or discussion, the Republican National Committee voted today to censure Representatives Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger over their service on the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The resolution said the behavior of Cheney and Kinzinger, quote, has been destructive to the institution of the U.S. House of Representatives, the Republican Party, and our republic. The two lawmakers also voted to impeach former President Donald Trump after last year's deadly insurrection. GOP Senator Mitt Romney condemned the vote, quote, shame falls on a party that would censor persons of conscience who seek truth in the face of vitriol. Honor attaches to Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger for seeking truth, even when doing so comes at great personal cost, Romney said in a tweet. Two of the men convicted on state charges in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery will plead not guilty to a federal hate crime charge, according to legal findings made yesterday and today. Gregory and Travis McMichael had initially planned to plead guilty to racist motives in the murder in the deal that would transfer them from state prison to federal custody for the first 30 years of their sentences. But the Arbery family had denounced the deal as too lenient, and District Judge Lisa Godbey Wood rejected the deal on Monday. Jury selection in the federal case is set to begin this Monday. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison will join the review of the fatal shooting by police of Amir Locke. The 22-year-old black man was killed Wednesday morning as Minneapolis police were conducting a no-knock search warrant. Police say he was not named in any search warrants before the entry, and attorneys for Locke's family say he was in legal possession of the firearm he was holding at the time. China and Russia declared a no-limits partnership at a meeting between Presidents Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin just hours before the Beijing Winter Olympics were set to begin. The world leaders portrayed the alliance as a bulwark against Western materialism and regime change, but did not mention the U.S. or its allies by name. In a joint statement, Xi and Putin said, quote, some forces representing a minority on the world stage continue to advocate unilateral approaches to resolving international problems and resort to military policy. The statement said areas of cooperation between Russia and China would include space, climate change, artificial intelligence, and the Internet. Each country also voiced support for security demands made by the other. The U.S. economy added almost 500,000 jobs in January, despite a resurgent coronavirus pandemic and dismal forecasts from some economists. Experts polled by Reuters had expected only 150,000 jobs added in January. In its monthly report, the Labor Department also significantly revised its jobs numbers for December to show 510,000 jobs created instead of the previously reported 199,000. Employment growth could continue as daily case rates in the United States continue to drop for coronavirus. A new report released this week finds that 73 Confederate monuments or memorials were removed or renamed in 2021, but at least 2,089 can still be found throughout the United States. The findings were announced by the Southern Poverty Law Center as they released the third edition of Whose Heritage? Public Symbols of the Confederacy. Quote, destroying these monuments and these memorials will not erase the legacy.